Well, a few days ago, I had an initiate call me quite early in the morning. They had had an experience in meditation that they wanted to go over and try to find out a truth that they had heard, whether it was valid, what to do with it, how to live with it if it was true. And what they heard inside was, it's for you to know yourself as God knows you. That's all you're here to do. All the other is illusion. All the other is distraction. All you're here to do is to know yourself as God knows you. And so they called up asking, is that true? Is that really what this is all about? And I said, exactly. Everything that I've said, everything that Brian is saying, everything is that statement. That really the soul came here to wake up and to know its own divinity and to live that divinity to the fullest that it's able in every given moment. And to do that means to pay attention, to be alert, to be aware of how you're living, what you're focused on, where's your attention. To know yourself as God knows you is something that I have held within myself since I was a child. I saw the very first thing I saw in people was the one face, that beautiful radiance of God dwelling in everyone. And I have held for that for everyone to come to awake to that which is in them ever since. Not always consciously doing it every day of every moment of every breath, but doing it to the best of my ability, holding to the awareness that I'm here to see God dwelling in everyone and everything as I can, and to hold that for the individuals that I'm involved with. Since I was given the keys of authority to initiate people on this path of sound and light, that's even become more prominent in the action that I'm doing with individuals, especially with the initiates, is to hold the awareness of the divine that dwells within you, to see it, to know it, to feel it, to honor it, to love it, and to not look to all that which you believe to be you. I'm not here to hold your illusions and keep them alive. I'm here to assist you to look past those illusions and into the truth of who you really are, and to let go and to allow the God in you to truly be, to express, to live life in a fuller state of being. So my job is pretty simple. My job is to first be aware of the God that dwells within me and to know God in me as God knows me. And then to look out into all of creation and to know the God that I know in me, in you. To see God, to know God, to feel God, to experience God in everything, in every place. And I know that as I was growing up, the one way that I could get through situations, problems, at school, at home, at work as I grew up, wherever it was if I would bring myself back to a centeredness, knowing that God dwells within me, and God dwells within this situation, and God dwells within this person that I'm involved with at this time. And if I will just allow myself to find God in all of that, then the situation will come to resolution quickly. I will be able to step past the illusion that is being pushed upon me or that I am projecting and live more the truth of the moment. So I would invite you to begin to realize that that's what your meditation is about. That's what your life journey is about. It's for you to come into the knowing of you the way God knows you. And that's what meditation is about. It's not about out-of-body or in-body or any kind of experience other than just to wake up and know that you are divine, that you are a child of God, and to begin to live that divinity as best you can in every given moment, to call yourself present into that divine moment, into that divine awakening, and to bring it present in everything that you do, everything that you say. I love it when people do acknowledge the divine in themselves. And I love it even more when they, in that moment of awareness of the divine in them, can acknowledge the divine in others. And how does that take place? It's as simple as a movement of loving, an awareness of connection, of loving between one and another, that you begin to sense and know that divinity that dwells within all things. You may not feel it with a person at first. You may feel it in other ways. In truth, it's first experienced within yourself. I have found, especially when I was younger and I was going through a lot of self-judgment with myself and my actions and my reactions in the world, that one of the places I found it very easy to get back in touch with the divine within me was to do forgiveness with myself and to say to myself, I love myself no matter what it is I've done or I'm doing or I believe or I don't believe or I'm in reaction to or in action with. I love myself and I forgive myself for anything that is separating me from the truth of who I am as divine, that is separating me from my movement of loving, and I allow it present once again. And the more I would do that during the day, the more I could find that divine spark inside of me stirring, radiating its divine loving and light into my consciousness, into my being, into my expression of the day. And I could begin to sense God coming alive in everything that I do, everything that I see, in all that I am. Now, it would be wonderful if that could happen 100% of your day, but it doesn't. We have the mind, the emotion, all these elements and qualities of self at this physical level that we also are participating in. And they are all reaching up, grabbing a hold, yelling at us for attention, for a part of the expression, for dominance. And it would be wonderful if we could wake up in our meditation, wake up in our daily life experience, and know the divine as the divine knows us. And then live that into every moment of every day. But in truth, it doesn't happen that way. It's wonderful to wake up into the divine knowing, to know that you are a divine spark of God, that you are the living, loving essence of the Lord. It is a wonderful experience, whether that's done in meditation, in a dream state, in a wakeful state of consciousness with your eyes open, walking through the day. It's just a wonderful experience to have. But then in the next moment, other things do come present. It is just the rhythm and the movement of consciousness at these levels. And let that be okay. Don't judge yourself because all of a sudden you don't see the divine in yourself. You don't see the divine in others. You don't see the divine in the moment. All you see is darkness and hell and pain and sorrow. That's okay. Let it be okay. And know that even in the midst of the greatest darkness, God does dwell there too. But you maybe haven't come awake to the God that dwells there yet. And allow yourself that opportunity to recognize that. And acknowledge that at this time, I may feel separate from the divine, but in truth I'm not. I know that I'm not, for I am the divine. Acknowledge it, state it in some way, so that you begin to bring God present even in the midst of separation, even in the midst of pain and sorrow and anguish or whatever. Invite God into that moment of separation from the divine knowing. and allow God to begin to live even in that dark place. If you invite the divine light of your own soul into every experience, you'll begin to see the radiance of that light, of that loving, of that truth that is God in you, coming present in everything you say, you do, you don't do, you don't say, in all ways. I know that there are times when I'm living my daily routine life and I'm not really thinking about God at all. I'm not present of God's presence in the midst of what I'm doing. But then all of a sudden something moves inside of me, something stirs, something comes awake. I see a glimmer of light. I hear the tinkling of a sound inside. I hear the still small voice. I feel the movement of loving. I feel the quickening of the flesh, as it's called in the Bible, the chills of that movement of the grace of the Holy Spirit. And I'm reminded once again, where's God in the midst of this? Have you brought God into it? Are you aware of God and what you're doing and what you're saying? And I've learned to pay attention and see how it is that I can become aware and awake of God in every given thing I'm doing. Now, when I broke my finger the other week, the first thing I saw was a broken finger. And the first thing I felt was a pain. And in that moment, I went into reaction. I didn't go into action, I went into reaction. I went into judgment for myself for the stupid thing I did to break my finger. And the more I got caught up in the judgment, the more I got caught up in the pain, the more I got caught up in looking at this broken finger, the more separated I got from my centeredness and my loving and the knowing of the divine in the situation. And it was very funny. Brian was downstairs still asleep. It was very early in the morning. I went down and I was apologizing for waking him up to take me to the hospital because I had a broken finger. And I realized in the moment that I was apologizing that in that was God's caring. In that was God reaching out to God in caring, in loving. Not demanding somebody get up and help me, but inviting them to participate with me in the journey. And for me, being vulnerable to allow them to be a part of that action. And all of a sudden, in that moment of that invitation, may not have sounded like an invitation, but it was, I realized that God was present with all of this. And that there was something for me to experience in this breaking of my finger. God was in the midst of this. There was a lesson here. There was a learning here. And it has been a wonderful journey ever since. Even when there's a tinge of pain with it, or whatever might come up having to do with it, I find God in there. I look for God in that experience. And it just makes it all so much simpler and easier. A moment ago, Brian was talking about how God walks with us in everything that we do. And truly that is because we are, as soul, God. God in full manifestation, coming to the greater knowing of self. So we have never been separated from God and we never will be. But it is for us to stop looking away from the source of our own true being, our own true essence, and let go of this illusion and the believing that this illusion has the answer to all questions and to begin to live the truth of who we really are. When we were in meditation, I had a wonderful experience. I went up, 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 up to the very top part of the causal realm in the outer regions. right up to the door, up into the mind. And there I met this man. And he came to me and he said, "Oh my God, what are you doing here? I needed to talk to you for so long. Can we sit down and talk?" And I said, "Sure. What is it you want to talk about?" And he said, "I've got it all figured out. I understand it all. But I can't go any higher than where I am at. What's wrong?" And he pulled out this chart, and he had all the realms figured out. He had God figured out. He had soul figured out. He understood it all. He had it all drawn out here, just like Brian drew it out here today. He had all the details, much more so than this. Much more so. He had figured out God. He knew all the names that had been given in initiation during the time of the Jewish tradition of initiation, during the time of the Persian, during the time of the Sufi. He had all the names written out for all the different realms. He had it all figured out, but yet he couldn't go higher. He couldn't join into the union of the flow of loving that he had read about, that he had heard about, that he even had experienced and seen, glimpsing through things on the inner realms, moving through elements of spiritual experience, but not knowing how to live in it or hold on to it or to move with it. And he was angry and he was frustrated and he was upset and he was still trying to figure it out. And I said to him, I said, "Let go, let go, just let go." And he said, let go of what? What am I holding on to?" And I said, "Well, for one, you're holding on to that chart. Let go of it." He said, "But I'll get lost. I need this chart to know where I'm at in any given moment. Because it'll tell me if I'm hearing this sound, I know where I'm at. If I'm seeing this color, I know where I'm at." I said, "Let go of the chart. It hasn't gotten you very far up to now. I don't think it's going to take you any further." He said, "Well, I know it's not going to take me any further. You've got to explain this chart to me further so I can go further. Explain it to me." And I said, "I can't. I can't explain that chart. Not to where it will take you higher. Let go. And then you'll go higher." And he sat there for a moment. He looked at me and he said, "Well, it's only going to drop to the floor, right?" And I said, "I don't know where it's going to drop. Just let go." He said, so I could pick it up, right? And I go, "Just let go." And so he finally figured out in his mind, "Well, I could pick it up. Okay, I'll let go." So he lets go of it, and it drops to the floor, and a gust of wind comes in and blows it away. And he goes, oh my God, I'm lost. I'm never going to get there. What have you done? You've totally given me nothing, and you've made me lose everything." And I said, "Then you're on your way. For it's in the nothingness that you will know it all. And it's in all that you thought you knew that you knew nothing." I said, "Now get up and start walking. And follow the truth. Don't follow ideas and concepts and beliefs. Don't follow the mind, the emotion, the body. Follow something greater than that." And he said, "There is nothing greater than that." And I said, "Well, then why did you draw that chart? What were you looking to find? What was it you were trying to answer so that you could go somewhere? Where did you want to go?" And he goes, "Well, I don't know. But everybody was doing these things. They were talking about these things, and they were going somewhere, and they were having these experiences. And I guess I wanted that too." And I said, "Did you have the experiences? Did you go and have the journey that you wanted?" And he said, "Well, no, but I figured it out. I figured out what they were doing. I figured out how they were getting there. I figured all this out." And I said, "But have you walked any of the journey?" And he said, "Well, I guess I've walked something or I wouldn't be where I'm at." And I said, "That's it exactly. Now, look on those experiences of the journey that you've taken. Even in how you gathered all this information to the mind and through the mind to draw that chart, to understand the journey, and now bring all that to experiential in your nature, not into concepts, not into beliefs, not into tradition, but into experience. Experience everything that you've written out there. Experience everything that you've figured out. Experience it, and then you're on the journey. He said, well, then how do I experience all that? I can't experience all that. It's just too much. I said, it's very simple. Go within. Connect into where the experience begins. Connect into that place where the journey does begin. There's always a beginning point of every journey. And he goes, well, yeah, right. So where's the beginning point? I don't get what you're talking about. Where's the beginning point? I don't have that map. I said, the beginning point of the inner journey is to go inside and to connect to that place of divinity that you are searching to understand, to know, to wake up to live. So after much discussion, he decided that he would do what I was saying because he lost his map and I wasn't going to go out and get it for him. So he closed his eyes and he connected inside. He connected into an experience. And he came back, he opened his eyes, and he said, oh my God. All this time, I've been carrying this stupid piece of paper around, trying to figure it all out. And all the time, it was right there with me. I am the journey. I am the beginning and the end of the journey. And it's all right here. It's not on a piece of paper, and it's not in all this journey through all these realms. It's right here. And I said, that's it. It begins and it ends right here. It begins with us waking up into knowing ourselves as God knows us. And it ends when we wake up and know ourselves as God knows us. That's the beginning and the end point of the journey that we are on. And then a wonderful thing happens. We no longer need this illusion. And we no longer look to this illusion for fulfillment, for solution, for anything other than for further experience. As long as we are in the body, the soul has opportunity to experience here more and more of all the realms, of all the levels of this creation, of this illusion, of this world of reflection. And it gains more and more understanding and insight of its true nature by letting go of this creation, of this nature. And it learns more and more about how to live the truth of its own self into the illusion, and to hold in this world of reflection an element of truth in all that we do here. To find God, not now just in ourselves, but in everything we experience, in every place that we go, in everyone that we meet, to find God, to know God, to see God, to experience God. And then there's no place for us to go. We don't have to leave this body to go into the soul realm. We don't have to sit down and close our eyes and go into meditation to have that experience alone. We can do it in every moment of every day if we will just look to find God first in all things. God first. God first. So when you come up to a situation, find God first in it. When you come to meet a friend for lunch, for dinner, at work, whatever, find God first in them. See that divine spark. Now, With some people, the divine spark of light and loving is really radiant and present in them. And you look at them and it's like, wow, there's the joy. There's the peace. There's the happiness. In this moment, they're really living it. And in others, it seems as though it's so, so far away. They're so deep in a well of darkness, of separation, of loneliness, of longing, that we have a challenging time sometimes seeing the divine in them because they don't see it for themselves and they don't allow that divine expression to move very freely in them. Look and see that even in the midst of the greatest darkness, of the greatest separation, the divine dwells there. And all you have to do is see the light of loving inside yourself and know that that same light, that same essence of God that dwells within you, dwells within them. And all you have to do is wake up and know that in them, in this moment. See the glimmer of light in their eye. Hear maybe the cry for joy in their voice and know that that's the God in them coming awake to itself in its own timing and its own way. And be grateful that you have that opportunity to know the God in them as you now know it in yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself is something that guided me from my childhood. And I knew that from that statement I had to love myself first to love my neighbor. And I know that in order for me to know God in others, I have to know God in myself. To know God as God knows me. Then I can know God in all things. And that's what Brian and I are here to do now. We were given a mantle of authority to initiate people. But that mantle of authority is a very simple mantle of loving, of God loving God. God loving God in us and God loving God in all things. In you, in all of you. And it's for us to hold that loving with you, for you, whether you believe it or not, we know it to be true. We see God living and dwelling within us, loving us, living us, being us, and we know it to be you as well. God is one, and we are one. We are one in God, and we are one because we are one in God. There is no separation. There is no individuality here other than by the illusion that we believe to be true. When we can begin to see beyond the realms of illusion and into the truth, we begin to know that we are one. We hold that oneness that you might step forward into that. But it's not on any piece of paper, it's not in a book, it's not anything that you can hold in your physical hands. It's inside of you. That's why we keep emphasizing, meditate, meditate, meditate. Because we know that that's the key. That's the doorway into the experience, into the knowing of yourself as God knows you. And if you will give yourself the time to close your eyes and to go inside in meditation and allow yourself the opportunity to wake up and to know, then we can stand in the greater oneness together, knowing it together, living it together, loving it together, manifesting it into the greater fullness in these levels and in all levels of creation. And it's just for us to do that. All these other things in this world that we think are so important, they're not. The soul came here to participate, to experience, to fulfill itself as a creative, expressive, loving being. But it didn't come here to identify itself as a part of this creation. Which unfortunately that's what happened. when the soul began to look into this creation and began to separate itself from its truth. The truth is recognized, experienced, and known inside. If you will sit and just allow yourself the time to sit in meditation, you will begin to know the truth of what we share. At first, you may find yourself sitting for 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, chanting the name of God, chanting Hu and I Hu, looking to find that purple light, to hear the sounds, to find the calmness or peace or loving, whatever it might be. And all you find is your mind chattering on and on and on. Let that be okay. And sit and sit and do your meditation. There will be a moment where you will get past it. However long it takes, that's what it takes. You sit past those chattering minds, those fluctuating emotions, those cravings of the body. You sit past it all until finally what resides inside of your experience is you. You beginning to be calm and centered and quiet. You begin to experience the stillness where God dwells within. The more you do it every day, the easier it will get to move into that place of stillness, of loving, of God. The more you do it every day, the more you will begin to know yourself as God knows you. The more you do it every day, the easier it will be to look out into the world with your eyes open and to know God dwells there too. The more you do it, the easier it will be to look even into the face of the creator of this creation, Kal Narinjan, Lucifer, Satan, Beelzebub, Baal, whatever you want to call him, and know that that is God as well. To see God dwelling in all things. And then the journey is a lot simpler and a lot easier. And there is nothing to quest for, to strive for. Rather, you just live the essence of truth that you are. So if anything today, I would say it is for all of us to know ourselves as God knows us and to begin to live the knowing of that. If God loves us, why don't we love ourselves? If God loves all of his creation, why don't we love all of his creation? Love it all. And it begins by loving yourself. When you begin to love yourself, you do begin to wake up in that loving, to know yourself as God knows you. God is loving. God is ever loving you. God told Hafiz that there was a great secret. And the secret was there is no sin. There is no separation. There is no illusion. That's the secret. And it's for us to wake up and to know the truth of that and to live it. And it is a secret in this world because the world keeps it a secret. The Lord of this creation does not want the creation to know that there is a true creator beyond him, because we would no longer worship him. We would look beyond him to the greater truth. And we would leave this illusion, we would leave this creation to return from which we came. That's what this journey is about. That's what initiation is about. That's what meditation is about. That's what waking up is to wake up into the truth of who we are, where we came from, and where we're going. Those are the three questions that when we truly have the answer through experience, there is no more journey. There's just beingness. So I think I'll bring it to a close there.